It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather. And he who controls the weather will control the world.
Another week in the planetary asylum has come and gone. I know I've stated in the past that every day is like Groundhog Day in the asylum, but that's not exactly true. Every day is not the same. The insanity is growing rapidly worse. The orchestrated election theater of idiocy, division, and distraction continues. Chapter after chapter, the political stripe makes no difference. It matters not. The narratives and behavior at election rallies is truly shocking and alarming, even more so when one considers the backdrop of rapidly accelerating biosphere collapse, a subject that is never mentioned at such events. Even now, at this late hour, how few yet have any notion whatsoever of the fact that the reality we have all known will very soon reach its end. Indeed, collapse is already in its advanced stages on countless fronts. This is especially true, again, in regard to the biosphere. A biosphere in which each and every one of our lives completely depend. Collectively, we, the human race, have decimated our once thriving planet. Those who still feel mainstream media is a legitimate or truthful source of information need to think again. We've gone from 60 media companies in the 80s to 5 interconnected corporations today. Question: who do you think those corporations exist to serve? Are these corporations going to tell you how bad things really are? Don't hold your breath. Not when their sponsors are actively grinding up what is yet left of Earth's life support systems for a short-term profit. What happens to those who sacrifice everything to try and tell the truth? Ask Julian Assange, if you can find him. How many have ever stopped to consider that Earth is, in a very real sense, a form of biological spaceship, protecting and providing for all of our lives while we orbit the sun in the extremely hostile environment of space? How simple is it to understand that systematically tearing apart one's spaceship in the pursuit of profit, power, or personal pleasure will lead to certain death? Is this premise hard to comprehend? I think not. If you were on a spaceship, would you start tearing off the walls or the flooring so you could build a bonfire to make you more comfortable for the moment? Would you strip down the life support controls of the spaceship so you could build some sort of electronic gadget to temporarily entertain yourself? Is our collective abuse of planet Earth any different? Remember and consider, those in power could not do what they do without the willful, often enthusiastic support of populations. Earth's life support systems are already failing on countless fronts. Earth's oceans, for example, are rapidly turning from friend to foe, warns a landmark UN climate report. From the report, oceans have not only absorbed over a quarter of the CO2 humanity emits, it's actually closer to 50%, but we'll go with what the report states here. The oceans have also soaked up more than 90% of the additional heat generated by greenhouse gas emissions since 1970. That has masked the true severity of what's unfolding on our planet. Another excerpt from the UN report states this: the same oceans that nourished human evolution are poised to unleash misery on a global scale unless the carbon pollution destabilizing Earth's marine environment is brought to heel, warns, again, a draft UN report. It's not just CO2. Methane is likely the more lethal aspect of the equation at this point, although CO2 has been one of the triggers leading to the methane mass expulsion. Climate engineering, another major trigger on countless fronts, not mitigating the massive greenhouse gas buildup, but actually worsening it, masking it from the public, attempting to mask it, using weather as a weapon also all over the globe, but in the course of both of those activities, making the immensity of what we face far worse, not better. So again, for the record, though CO2 is necessary for life, when organisms have adapted over millions of years to a specific atmospheric and aquatic chemistry, when that chemistry is radically altered, as the human race has done to planet Earth, the entire web of life is thrown out of balance. Earth's life support systems begin to fail, as I stated. A new report is a case in point from the University of Technology in Sydney. Quote, new threat from ocean acidification emerges in the Southern Ocean. Again, for those who still attempt to claim that CO2 is wonderful, the more the better. That's not true. Simply not true. Organisms can't adapt at this speed to these changes. Water is necessary for life for all of us. We can't survive long without it, but if we're 10 feet under, we're not going to live long, are we? Same situation. Here's a summary from this report. The oceans have absorbed far too much CO2 and are rapidly acidifying. This, in turn, is having a devastating effect on plankton populations. Not only is plankton the single greatest oxygen source on the planet, it is also the base of the planetary food chain. If the plankton dies, we die. The human race will follow the fate of the plankton. How many have taken notice of the sun's intensity, the burning feeling on your skin? This relates to the plankton also, because the immense UV from the collapsing ozone layer, single greatest causal factor, climate engineering, not the only factor, but single greatest factor, the intense UV radiation from the ozone layer collapse is also killing plankton, just for the record. But continuing on with this question of how many have noticed the sun's intensity or the burning feeling on your skin, the incredibly hot surfaces on your car. But it's not the sun. The sun hasn't changed. Again, it's the rapidly collapsing ozone layer. UV radiation at the Earth's surface is already so intense, it is altering and mutating DNA across the web of life. If we faced no other challenges as a species, ozone layer collapse alone will soon decide our collective fate if the ongoing destruction of the ozone layer is not halted. What's the single most destructive factor in the equation? Again, global climate engineering operations. Stay tuned to this report for a more in-depth and alarming examination of this incredibly dire issue. As I've stated on other broadcasts, Global Alert News is absolutely not about feel-good news. This broadcast is about exposing realities that must be faced if we're to have any chance of changing course in time to salvage any part of Earth's remaining life support systems. Let's cover a bit more of what most don't want to know, yet alone face, and certainly what mainstream media is not telling us. Let's ask this question. How many are even now completely caught up again in the bread and circus show of completely manufactured political idiocy? While the planet goes down in flames. The political stripe, again, matters not. Blue, red, Democrat, Republican, left, right, conservative, liberal, all are just variations of manufactured division and distraction. And again, all the while, the clock continues to tick toward midnight, toward our collective near-term demise. I realize so many refuse to believe this reality. Though very soon, unfolding events will make it impossible to deny. As if the criminal cabal masquerading as our government does not already have near total control over mainstream media, consider this new headline report from Rolling Stone. The Pentagon wants more control over the news. What could go wrong? Question mark. That's Rolling Stone's headline. From the report, the Pentagon is using moral panic over, quote, fake news to gain influence over domestic news landscapes. Is there a worse idea than the Pentagon becoming editor-in-chief for America? That's a question that needs to be answered. From the U.S. Naval Institute blog, this new headline report, listen carefully. Here's the headline, quote, on climate, comma, the best defense is a good offense. Now listen to this excerpt from this U.S. Naval Institute blog report. Navy and DOD, Department of Defense leaders, must begin in rapid earnestness, using the climate mitigation levers at their disposal. Now, this should shock people if they have any understanding of climate engineering. One, this title or this excerpt is certainly deception in that the Navy and the DOD and other aspects of the military-industrial complex used the levers of climate mitigation at their control over 70 years ago and have used them ever since on an ever larger scale. But now we're simply at the point where some quote-unquote official sources are trying to perhaps pave the way for a public acceptance of what's going on in our skies. But I would argue that populations will never accept the climate engineering insanity. At least they will never accept it if those of us who are doing our best to fight it have done our jobs effectively. The public should never accept the single most destructive human activity ever deployed by the human race. The 18th anniversary of the 9/11 false flag attacks has come and gone. Mainstream media put out every imaginable 9/11 distraction to fortify official lies and propaganda about the event, but not a word about the new shockwave peer-reviewed science report proving Building 7, the third building that collapsed that day, that never got hit by anything, was brought down by controlled demolitions. Support the 9/11 Architects and Engineers Group, 3,000 plus of the world's top architects and engineers putting their careers and perhaps their lives on the line trying to expose this truth. Any truly patriotic individual has an absolute responsibility to honestly investigate the facts. Continued blind flag waving for a verifiably criminal government is not patriotism. It is honorless tyranny. How soon will total collapse come? Consider this headline from multiple sources, including a primary Middle East publication. Here's the headline. Brace for food wars. Science writer issues dire warning to the world. The report states, the world must act now to avoid conflict over food, land, and water. Conflicts will spread from hotspots such as Syria to power structure centers like London and New York, according to a top science writer. He says, quote, supermarkets can be emptied out in 24 hours if people panic. We are far closer to hunger than most of us suspect. For most Americans, endless food at our fingertips seems permanent and is completely taken for granted. But this is a grave and misguided mistake. Remember and consider what core factor has allowed so-called civilizations to exist in the first place: the ability to mass produce and store staple food stocks. Crops are crashing around the globe. Fisheries are crashing around the globe. These facts can't be hidden from the general public for much longer. Another headline, AccuWeather's latest analysis predicts a poor 2019 yield for corn and soybeans. That's not the only crops that will suffer. Report states 2019 will be a down year for corn and soybean production, both in terms of quantity and quality. Just a sample from that report. But these reports are all over the globe, not just in the U.S. But don't worry. Mainstream media will do their best to put populations back to sleep with Think Happy Thoughts headline reports, such as this example from BBC. Quote, how localization can solve, in huge letters they put solve, climate change. For the record, however nice and reassuring it might sound, it couldn't be further from the truth. That statement is equivalent to saying after you've crashed your car through the guardrail and are careening through the air, having someone assure you, don't worry, we'll put a new set of brakes on that car before you hit the bottom of the canyon, as if any of that would help. We need to look at reality. We are going to hit the wall. There's no question about that. Civilization in its current form is done. It was never sustainable. If we can yet salvage anything, that will initially depend on dealing with the largest priorities first, and that largest priority should be, must be, to expose and halt the single most destructive human activity of all, and that is climate engineering, greatest, most immediate threat we face short of nuclear cataclysm. For so long, so many were not watching the horizon at all, blindly believing everything was okay and on track, that governments were there to protect and provide for citizens. But again, such a notion could not have been further from the truth. For many decades, while populations went about their lives, in many cases their personal pursuits of pleasure, the cancer behind the curtain was growing and metastasizing into every imaginable arena. That cancer, if it's left to continue, will soon take down the human race and perhaps the entire web of life with it. Another headline, as Amazon burns, Canada's boreal forest also faces serious threats, something mainstream media is not telling us. In that report, Canada's natural resource industries harvest almost as much wood as Brazil. Where is the U.S. media coverage of, again, Canada's looting and pillaging of forests? No forests, no people. Very simple equation. Trees die, we die with them. Insects die, we die. Oceans die, we die. Ozone layer collapses, we die. All of it's happening at once. something to consider, a sobering thought. In regard to the forest dying, I just had a conversation with a local fire official, and I passed on some geoengineeringwatch.org data, our 20-page fact and photo summary booklet, but he seemed not very interested in it. In fact, what he seemed interested in is conveying to me the official narrative coined by people like former administration official Ryan Zinke, who came after the fires incinerated Northern California, to tell everyone that the fires were happening because we just weren't cutting down enough trees. What an absurd statement, notion, narrative, whatever you want to call it, completely absurd. And this, unfortunately, I'm sorry to say, and I'm not coining all fire agencies or all fire officials at all. I'm simply talking about the one I communicated with on Saturday. He went about repeating the official narrative that the trees are all dying because of the beetles and because we weren't cutting down enough trees. And that's why there were so many beetles. At least he tried to convince me of that. And he had no knowledge, certainly, of climate engineering, didn't want to know, didn't want to consider that the hydrological cycle's been cut off, the ozone layer's frying, the trees from the top down, the rain's toxic, full of bioavailable metals like aluminum, which peer-reviewed study proves poison roots, poisons root systems. And there's other factors as well, major factors, which geoengineeringwatch.org has tried to disclose for nearly a decade. On top of everything I just stated, we now have this new headline report to consider from New Scientist and numerous other sources. Here's the study headline. Plant growth has declined drastically around the world due to dry air. Again, this factor on top of everything else I've already been over, and there are other factors as well I don't have time to go into. But these are factors that so many in official agencies don't know about and don't want to know about. Perhaps they feel it's a bad career decision for them to address the truth. So staying in denial and toting the official narrative is what they choose to do while the ship goes down by the day. That's simply not okay. From this report, and again, remember, consider that there are many factors decimating plants and tree growth and triggering mass die-off, like extreme UV, toxic climate engineering fallout in the rain, rain that doesn't come at all because of climate engineering cutting off the precipitation cycle in many regions. Many factors to consider. I'll get to more of those in a moment. But from this report, on the decline of atmospheric water vapor. A lack of water vapor, this is from the report, in the atmosphere has caused a global decline in plant growth over the past two decades, resulting in a decline in growth rates of up to 59% in vegetated areas worldwide. 59%, nearly two-thirds. Vapor pressure deficit, the acronym is VPD, is the difference between the pressure that would be exerted by water vapor when the air is fully saturated and the pressure it actually exerts. When this deficit increases, the pores on the surface of leaves that facilitate gas exchange close up, resulting in lower photosynthesis rates. How many broadcasts have I covered this on? That the trees are not breathing, they're not respirating, their stomata are shut because it's so dry, the UV is so intense that they simply stop breathing and die a slow, protracted death. They're not absorbing carbon, they're not exhaling oxygen, and this study has now completely confirmed the reporting from geoengineeringwatch.org for so many years. The report continues, the complex dynamics of climate change may be responsible, says the report's author. Again, they're not about to mention climate engineering. Keep that in mind. He continues, there has been a decrease in wind speeds over the oceans, which means water vapor doesn't blow over land as readily and can lead to this deficit over vegetated areas. What have we reported at geoengineeringwatch.org so many times? Climate engineering, completely derailing the hydrological cycle, blocking the sun, blocking direct sunlight, which reduces evaporation, altering convection, reducing convection, which reduces wind, which reduces evaporation. All being completely confirmed in this report. The warming planet also plays a role. At a given temperature, the atmosphere can only hold a certain amount of water vapor. As temperatures on land increase, the upper limit on the amount of water vapor the atmosphere can hold increases, so the deficit gets larger still, the authors state. Understand what I just stated, and as I've stated on so many broadcasts before, as the atmosphere warms, the atmosphere can hold 7% more moisture for every degree C of warming. And the point with this, the vapor pressure deficit, is that as the planet warms and is capable of holding even more water vapor, but yet that water vapor isn't there, the deficit between what it can hold and what it is actually holding becomes larger still, further magnifying this problem. And again, what is the factor that's not being disclosed? Can't have less overall water vapor on a warming planet without a factor that's not being disclosed. That factor is climate engineering and the desiccant sun-blocking particles, convection-thwarting particles that reduce wind over oceans, which reduces evaporation. This is the myopic tunnel vision of the climate engineers. Water vapor is a greenhouse gas. So they approach it much as the pharmaceutical industrial complex approaches medical issues with a very tunnel visioned approach that doesn't take the whole into account. So they're trying to reduce water vapor, trying to block the sun, all of their activities destroying the ozone layer, poisoning the entire planet, disrupting the hydrological cycle, killing Earth's life support systems from the plankton to the trees to everything else. Climate engineering is the single most environmentally destructive factor on the planet. And where's the environmental groups on that? I'll never stop railing on them until they show some courage and face the truth. And they should not be supported. None of them. None of them. Unless or until they're willing to address the climate engineering elephant in the sky, no environmental group should be supported. I don't care how much they rant and rave about the climate, which I fully understand anthropogenic warming. I fully acknowledge its reality. We've been horrible stewards to the planet, but there can be no legitimate discussion about the climate or the state of the climate without addressing climate engineering first and foremost. This report on plant growth continues. The team analyzed satellite images and found corresponding drops in the growth rates of global vegetation and leaf coverage, which had previously increased between 1982 and 1998. Why is 1998 an important date? That's the date when we had the warmest year ever recorded up to that point. It's the pivoting point at which climate engineering was really ramped up, and suddenly we have a corresponding decline in plant growth. No surprise. Also, 98 was the year that the climate change term was really put into full use instead of global warming. Why? Because the climate engineers knew that they would be causing radical weather whiplash events, extreme warm to extreme cold from chemical ice nucleation processes, the engineered cool downs. A lot of these dates correspond. It's important to understand that. Report states they also looked at the width of tree rings, which is commonly used as a measure of growth. After 98, there was a decrease in average ring width across the board. The team projects that vapor pressure deficit will continue to rise in the decades to come. They state this, quote, "The atmospheric drought will last into the end of the century," said the researchers, which is, for the record, another lie. Because if the human race remains on the current course, there won't be any members of the human race here at the end of the century to monitor such a result. That's a mathematical, statistical fact. In spite of the continued precipitous drop in atmospheric humidity, we're told to expect way more, quote, contrails. I covered this following report in a previous broadcast, but it needs to be mentioned again, this time from a different source, NBC News, who stated this. Do airplane, quote, contrails add to climate change? Question mark. Yes. And the problem is about to get worse. Statement by NBC. They state this. Despite conspiracy theories about so-called chemtrails, there is no evidence that the white plumes seen trailing from high-flying airplanes are a part of a secret government program to spray toxic chemicals into the atmosphere for mass sterilization or mind control. Where does that come from? The journalists that write this should be considered criminal accomplices to the climate engineering cover-up. Whatever other experimentation is going on, this is climate engineering, geoengineering, and they won't say that because they want to paint the most ridiculous picture they can to marginalize this ongoing crime in our skies so that people from academia don't want to come near this issue. And everybody just sits in their cabin on the deck of the Titanic while the water comes over the deck and we all sink with the ship. That's exactly what's going on. Journalists are behaving and playing the part as criminal accomplices to the climate engineering cover-up. And if the population can be awakened to that fact, all such so-called journalists should be held legally and morally accountable for their part in this criminal cover-up. Report continues, but contrails do pose a threat. Scientists say they contribute to climate change by trapping heat that radiates upward from Earth's surface. A new study published in the Journal of Atmospheric Chemistry and Physics suggests that the global warming effect will triple by 2050, as air travel grows in popularity and new technology enables planes to reach the higher cruising altitudes where contrails tend to form. Again, packed, riddled with disinformation. We're not going to reach 2050. We'll likely not reach 2025 on the current course. And what we see clearly, as we've said at geoengineeringwatch.org from the beginning of our website over 10 years ago, short-term, highly toxic cooldowns at the cost of a worsened overall warming. That's what the jet aircraft sprayed particulates do, and the shredding of the entire web of life from top to bottom. Yet more confirmation of that fact. To those that are already awake and aware and doing their best to effectively and efficiently sound the alarm, I wish to express to you, as always, my most sincere gratitude. Thank you for your courage and for your commitment to the greater good. We march in this battle together. This is Dane Wigington. You're listening to the Global Alert News Hour, episode number 214, September 14, 2019. News again that most don't want to hear, but that we must face if we're to have any chance of changing course. This commercial-free frontline news broadcast is brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org and paid for by geoengineeringwatch.org. This news hour is broadcast throughout Northern California on 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM, Saturday mornings from 6 to 7, Sunday mornings, same time slot. Recordings of this broadcast can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent top stories and radio sections. The latest geoengineeringwatch.org awareness-raising materials can be ordered from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for our approximate cost of producing and shipping. We simply want to get these materials into circulation. Another way to help us sound the alarm, attend Gem Fair events, G-E-M-F-A-I-R-E. See their homepage for more details. Gem Fair has been an extremely dedicated ally in the fight to expose and halt climate engineering. There's a geoengineeringwatch.org informational booth at all Gem Fair events, free materials. You can get into these events free. If you're there to pick up these materials, just tell the Ticketmaster why you're there. Help us in the critical effort to wake the masses. This week's Gem Fair event, San Rafael, California. Started yesterday, ends tomorrow, Marin Center Exhibit Hall. Next week, Salt Lake City, Utah, September 20th through September 22nd, the Mountain America Exposition Center. Week after, Boise, Idaho, September 27th through September 29th at the Expo Idaho location. Visit Gem Fair again. Pick up materials. Help us to sound the alarm. The materials make it exponentially easier to wake those around you. That's why we produce them in such quantity. Moving on. So much to cover, not going to get through it all, but I'll try. The chief executive recently stated that the U.S. has been building up other countries and that it was now time to build up the U.S. Have we been building up other countries? I didn't know that. I thought we were busy blowing them apart. My mistake. Not just picking on this chief executive. It follows all the way down the chain of every political stripe, makes no difference. The military-industrial complex is running the show. The chief executive also stated that other countries are taking advantage of the United States. Does that statement hold up to an examination of the facts? Consider that the U.S. is less than 5% of the global population, yet the U.S. uses over 25% of energy resources. And for the record, the fracking Ponzi scheme, which has supplied the boom in U.S. oil supplies, is already unraveling. And all the aquifers that have been permanently poisoned from fracking, they're now unusable forever. And that's a long time. Back to the claim that other countries have, quote, taken advantage of America. Consider the U.S. military bases in other people's countries all over the globe, almost 800 of them. Consider that the U.S. is currently importing tens of billions of dollars of food, some from countries whose populations are starving, to keep our store shelves stocked and our populations pacified until the brutal bitter end. I ask this question, who exactly is taking advantage of who? Let's cover some economic headline realities. Jobs report badly misses estimates. No surprise, employment figures always falsified. Another headline, U.S. layoffs rise 38%, highest level for August since 2009. Another headline, these are not signs of a healthy market. That headline is about the entire stock market that rests on empty rumors and recycled central bank happy talk. That's a quote from the Rice Farmer blog spot. Very good spot for news. Recommend anybody who wants to find non-politicized, categorized, firsthand news. Very exceptional individual that puts together that site. Another headline, as Earth faces climate catastrophe, U.S. set to open nearly 200 power plants. What a great idea. Let's just keep burning hydrocarbons and pumping the atmosphere full of pollution until there's absolutely nothing left and our planet looks like Venus. That's the road we're on. How are the Hong Kong protests going? What isn't U.S. corporate media telling us about these protests? The opposition leaders are being wined and dined by Washington. Again, what a surprise. Would U.S. citizens stand by and let the Chinese government covertly support such anti-government protests in New York? I think not. Hong Kong chaos is yet another stunning example of U.S. empirical intervention policies and practices. I have no love for the criminal and corrupt Chinese government or any other foreign government, but when will U.S. citizens actually investigate what their own government is doing in the world? The U.S. military just dropped nearly 80,000 pounds of bombs on alleged ISIS strongholds in Iraq. Remember Iraq? The country that had absolutely nothing to do with the 9/11 false flag event? The country that agreed to give up their weapons of mass destruction and then got invaded and obliterated by the U.S. military under the guise of spreading freedom and democracy? And let's not forget about the Libyan model. Libya also agreed to give up their weapons of mass destruction and did so. How well did that go for the Libyans? What happened and who was behind it all? The U.S., these are two examples, only two of many, by the way. The U.S. and its so-called allies. What would be the motives in the case of these countries? Oil, for one. And the attempt by these countries to disconnect from the dollar as a currency for trading. That's another. The dollar is the global reserve currency, and the fact that central bankers could print as many of them as they wanted has what's allowed the empire to become what it's become, completely out of control. And about ISIS, the U.S. government has been proven to supply them with weapons and equipment in the past while intermittently bombing them. All of this is good for the military-industrial complex and weapon sales. And that's what it's all about for those in power. Another headline along those lines, Israel appears to have attacked four countries in 2 days, bombing Iran's allies across the Middle East. How many have really investigated, honest investigation of what's going on in the Middle East? Why was Bolton fired? Really, why was he fired? The U.S. empire's targeted countries of Iran and Venezuela and the targeted country of Syria are all still standing, all of them hydrocarbon-rich countries. For the record, Syria is the only significant crude oil-producing country in the Middle Mediterranean region, which includes Jordan, Lebanon, and Israel. Thus, Syria's oil is certainly coveted. Question, was Bolton fired because he was causing conflict with oil-rich countries? Or rather, was Bolton fired by those who truly control the levers of power because he had so far failed to topple and take over these oil-rich target nations? I'll leave that up to the listener to decide. On CNN News, U.S. Senator Angus King, former governor of Maine and member of the so-called U.S. Intelligence Committee, accused last week Iran of having, quote, expansionist ambitions in the Middle East. Why aren't such lies confronted with verifiable facts? For the record, Senator King, in over 230 years, Iran has invaded exactly no one. How many dozens of countries has the U.S. military invaded and/or occupied over the last century alone? I would remind Senator King of whose military is scattered all over the globe again in nearly 800 bases. Which country has military bases completely surrounding the country of Iran? Does that question even need to be answered? For those who have nurtured unjust prejudice against Muslims because of the 9/11 events, all available facts make clear that Muslims had exactly nothing to do with 9/11. Elements of our own government had everything to do with the 9/11 false flag attack, which accomplished exactly what the perpetrators wanted it to accomplish, to galvanize the U.S. public into completely blind and unquestioning support of unbridled U.S. empirical aggression in the Middle East in the pursuit of the resources the empire desperately needs to sustain its hegemonic power. Last week, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu yet again claimed Iran had secret nuclear sites, a claim Netanyahu has now been making for a total of 27 years. Please verify everything I'm saying. On the subject of hydrocarbon energy, the lifeblood of the empire, a flow that it needs to continue to sustain itself, consider this new headline report on the subject of energy from NBC and other sources. Quote, U.S. wants energy dominance, regardless of what happens to oil prices, Deputy Energy Secretary says. That was last week. All of it comes down to the collapse of the environment, which, again, is unfolding by the day. The collapse of the environment on which all of our lives depend. Forgive me, one last footnote to remember regarding the U.S. military. As I've stated before, it's the largest single source polluter on the planet. That's a statistical fact, not an opinion. Does that mean China's not a horrible polluter? No, it doesn't mean that. China is the most polluting nation on the planet, no question. But for a single source polluter, it's the U.S. military. Please look that one up, too. Headline, Australia launches emergency relocation of fish as largest river system faces collapse. The geoengineers control the flow of precipitation, something to remember. Relocating fish, good luck on that. Magnetite pollution, nanoparticles in the human brain. It's not just magnetite. It's aluminum, barium, and other nanoparticulates directly related to climate engineering, showing up in medical studies everywhere. Another headline report. International appeal, stop 5G on Earth and in space. Yes, what sane society would allow 5G once you know anything about it? Another headline. Plan for fish farm off Florida's Gulf Coast raises environmental concerns. Good luck growing those fish. The native fish can't survive. They're washing up dead on oceans everywhere. So now let's farm fish. Remember, nature once produced 75% of all global GDP for free. No more. The party's over. Offshore oil and gas rigs are leaking more greenhouse gas than expected. No surprise there. It's complete cover-up. Environmental, complete sacking of the planet. And official agencies are doing their best to hide it. Another headline, Alaskans experiencing fires, little rain, and drought conditions. Again, climate engineers control the flow of precipitation, period. Fifth straight year of bird die-off in Alaska waters linked to starvation. Ocean food chain collapsing. Been saying so in GeoengineeringWatch.org for nearly a decade. Another headline, Bill Gates, I met with Jeffrey Epstein because he knows a lot of rich people, end quote, from Bill Gates. That's just a sample of the idiocy of those who are the top pillars of our so-called society. The empire and those who obediently serve it is also directly assaulting its own citizens, who, as they begin to wake up to the empire's crimes, are becoming increasingly angry. They're an increasing liability to those who control the empire. A case in point, highlighting the actions of one of the empire's faithful servants, Governor Gavin Newsom, signs controversial bill cracking down on so-called fraudulent vaccine exemptions. I have a question for Governor Newsom. Fraudulent exemptions in whose opinion? The opinion of the medical, pharmaceutical, industrial complex and those they pay to do their bidding? California Governor Gavin Newsom signed bills Monday to crack down on doctors who write medical exemptions. He said, quote, this legislation provides new tools to better protect public health. For the record, forcing verifiably toxic vaccines is not about protecting public health. It's about pushing the agenda of those in power. The forced vaccination legislation effort was co-sponsored by the American Academy of Pediatrics and the California Medical Association and the advocacy group Vaccine California, or Vaccinate California, all of which hailed their final approval. There was no public committee hearings before the assembly who approved the measure. Newsom demanded a phase-out period for medical exemptions. And let's stop to remember that the money has always been the bottom line for the so-called elected officials who have pushed the agenda of forced vaccinations for the power structure. Want proof? Good. Search this report headline. Quote, drug companies donated millions to California lawmakers before vaccine debate, end quote. For the record, the lawmaker that has most pushed for forced vaccinations is Senator Richard Pan. And for the record, the lawmaker that received the most from the drug companies, nearly $100,000, was Senator Pan. Welcome to fascism. One more quick headline on the pharmaceutical industrial complex's pushing of poison on the public. Here's a headline. Meet, quote, pill pack. Amazon rolls out pharmaceutical delivery direct marketing. Great. You can order your drugs from Amazon. Back to the environment, the assault on the environment, the assault on humanity. I just covered part of that. That's only a part of it. We have fluoridated water. We have many other aspects. But those in power, all at assault against the web of life and all of us. Time to wake up to that fact. From numerous sources, again, back to the collapsing environment. Here's the headline. Like nothing we've ever seen, end quote, Queensland bushfires tear through rainforest. It's rainforest burning also in Australia. I have been to the Australian rainforest, and I cannot imagine that they could be dry enough now to burn. Here's a statement from Lee Johnson, who spent 12 years in charge of Queensland's fire service. He said this, what we're seeing, it's just not within people's imagination, end quote. It's like nothing we've ever seen, he further stated. From the UK Guardian and other sources, this harbinger headline of what's coming for us all if humanity remains on the current course. Here's the headline, dead things everywhere. Is Australia facing the summer from hell? End headline. Richard Kingsford, the director of the Center for Ecosystem Science at the University of New South Wales, says, There's dead things and dying things everywhere. Kangaroos dying, and even foxes are dying. The outlook is grim, with low water storage levels, below normal rain, and extreme temperatures are being forecast. For the record, it's not being forecast, it's being scheduled by the climate engineers. From the Australian Daily Mercury News, this parallel new report, quote, Australia on brink of apocalyptic weather. From that report, less rain and more heat is being forecast. Again, that's scheduled weather. That's not to deny anthropogenic damage to the planet. Not at all. But when climate engineering is so blatantly visible in our skies, visible on satellite imagery from all over the globe, completely derailing and disrupting Earth's climate and life support systems, when weather is being used as a weapon all over the globe, how can there be any legitimate discussion of the climate without discussing this issue first, which no major source is yet addressing? Final statement from the Australian report. This compounds an already disastrous winter for New South Wales and much of Queensland. Their soil moisture levels actually decreased over what should have been their wet season. Not going well there in the land down under. From the Washington Post, this quote, dangerous new hot zones are spreading around the world. From that report, major parts of the globe have already passed 2 degrees Celsius of warming. We're past 3.5 degrees C based on on-the-ground readings. Official readings are being radically falsified to the downside. That will become ever more evident in the passing weeks and months. From AccuWeather.com and other sources, more reports of record heat. How long will record-challenging heat continue to bake the southern U.S.? To better understand the rapidly increasing climate-engineered weather whiplash scenarios, back and forth, from cold to hot and back again, search Geoengineering Watch Weather Whiplash or Geoengineering Watch Engineering Winter. Some locations are fried under domes of ionosphere heat or high pressure in order to direct upper level winds, which in turn facilitate short-term cool downs elsewhere. More continuing headlines of heat from around the globe, from sciencenewsforstudents.org and other sources. Record heat is burning the Arctic and melting Greenland's ice. Nothing new there, but it's unfolding rapidly, increasing, accelerating. Same with the polar regions. Wildfires are pumping vast amounts of carbon dioxide into the air, which could make the problem worse, the report states. No could, no may, no might. See through that one. From the Siberian Times, state of emergency in Russia's permafrost region. The permafrost river dries to a record low. Rivers drying up all over the globe. Other rivers flooding and overflowing their banks. That's what happens when you totally derail the climate system. Again, all forms of human activity doing so, but climate engineering, single greatest disrupting factor of all. From the Anchorage Daily News, this. With sea ice still melting, vessels doing Arctic transits stop at Nome late in the season. From Nome, marine vessels of all sizes transiting through the Arctic Ocean this season, some starting from Nome, have a couple of options for ice-free routes. Arctic sea ice loss will likely continue for at least several more weeks. From multiple sources, this headline. Temperatures in the Pacific Ocean have shot up to dangerous levels, and scientists are blaming a, quote, strange anomaly. Here's a report summary. Though the science report acknowledges that the extreme ocean heat zone could, may, might, devastate marine life, and though the scientists state they have no idea what's causing the anomalous blob of ocean heat, they then try to assure us not to worry, that everything will probably be fine. Not too reassuring. The death toll in the Bahamas continues to mount. The numbers of curious individuals who are beginning to suspect there was something very wrong with Hurricane Dorian's behavior is also increasing, thankfully. Typhoon Ling Ling killed 8 in North Korea, destroyed 460 homes, and nearly 115,000 acres of farmland back to the empty store shelves. It's coming. Another headline, powerful typhoon Faxel hits Tokyo, leaving 1 million homes without power, killing at least 2 people and injuring 40. From sciencepagenews.com and other sources, Japan minister says Fukushima radioactive water will have to be dumped into the Pacific. We all knew that was coming. They've been doing it all along, just trying to hide what they could while they could. Fukushima, the gift that keeps on giving. No known technology to fix it, no end in sight, and we're building dozens more nuke plants right now. Many in very dangerous zones, like along coasts where such nuclear plants will soon be submerged. It's a mathematical fact. We will soon have more Fukushimas. The human race has painted itself into a very dark corner. Back to climate engineering. The climate engineers can cut off the flow of precipitation to regions where they choose to do so, such as California, for as long as they choose to do so. Yet, what new half-truths and outright lies are being published from academia on the subject of precipitation. This new report is from the American Geophysical Union. Quote, climate change is altering winter precipitation across the northern hemisphere. From that report, a team of scientists has successfully teased out, that's their words, the influence of human-caused climate change while systematically ignoring or pretending they don't see the climate engineering elephant in the room. We live in an asylum. So many in the ranks of academia, either criminally negligent of the arena of research in which they claim to be experts, we're told they're experts, or they're lying. Take your pick. The same is true for Australia and anywhere else, again, by cutting off the precipitation. This new report from ABC Australia, quote, farmers affected by droughts to face a lot worse. That's the scheduled weather. More drought being scheduled for Australians. From that report, there are predictions that sections of the Murray-Darling Northern Basin could dry up altogether this summer with no water available. Another headline from AccuWeather, fall forecast for the Pacific Northwest, drought and fire. What a surprise, the scheduled weather for the Pacific Northwest. Again, search engineering winter at geoengineeringwatch.org. Learn what's being done in the continental U.S. Eastern half kept more consistently cool, western half more consistently baked and burned. How does the power structure prompt populations to accept any and every form of completely engineered weather whiplash by publishing so-called forecasts that pretend to, quote, predict what is in fact the scheduled engineered weather? From the UK, Metro, and other sources, this headline, new beast from the east to hit UK during coldest winter in 30 years. From that report, Britain could be heading into one of its coldest winters in decades, scientists have said. They say a freezing vortex of Arctic air is expected to hit the country in the next 4 months, seeing temperatures plunging to their lowest in decades. Think about this, the absurdity of this headline, that somehow scientists know sometime in the next 4 months such an event is going to happen. That is not meteorology. That's not prediction. It's not forecasting. It's simply pumping out the scheduled weather in order to program and prepare populations for accepting whatever happens as being somehow normal when it is not normal. Again, search engineering winter at geoengineeringwatch.org. On the same subject, another headline. Snow in September, Winter comes early to northern Italy. From that report, Italy has already had its first snow of the year, with parts of the Alps turned unusually white the first week of September. More engineered winter weather events. So we have snow in Italy while we have polar regions melting down. Creates the headlines the climate engineers want. That's what it's about. Still on the subject of engineered cooldowns with extreme consequences, this next headline is a harbinger of what is scheduled for the southern hemisphere inhabitants from numerous sources. Quote, sudden stratospheric warming event above the South Pole to go down as the strongest on record. This is the southern hemisphere's version of the polar vortex, so perhaps parts of New Zealand will be cooled off while parts of Australia fry. There are always climate sacrifice zones with everything the climate engineers do. They decide who bakes, who burns, who floods, and the population is completely oblivious to what's going on in our skies. Consider this about the ozone layer. As I mentioned at the beginning of this broadcast, ozone is the valve for the solar radiation. And as ozone drops, the temperatures begin to rise. The decline in ozone since the 80s can be directly correlated to a global rise in temperature. Climate engineering, single greatest factor destroying the ozone layer again. Search geoengineeringwatch.org. Ozone layer destruction. Find more. The ozone layer is our most important defense against the sun's powerful radiation that heats the planet. Ozone is a fragile molecule and is easily damaged by other chemical reactions and electrical fluctuations in the atmosphere. Powerline harmonic radiation, known as PLHR, as well as broadcast radiation from the radio, television, and telecom industries, interact with the magnetosphere and ionosphere, which causes these particles to rain down. The planet's magnetic field funnels the electrons into the upper atmosphere above the poles. The electrons hit nitrogen molecules. They're breaking some of them into nitrogen ions. These reactive atoms then combine with nearby oxygen molecules to form molecules of nitrogen. Finally, downward blowing winds in a polar vortex above the Arctic pushes these molecules of NO2 and OH into the stratosphere. There, each nitrogen oxide and hydroxyl molecule could rip apart hundreds of ozone molecules, just as CFCs do. And none of this, again, makes mention of the massive radio frequency microwave transmissions associated with climate engineering. None of this data references the particulates that are being sprayed into the atmosphere as part of solar radiation management, all of which is destroying ozone. We are on the fast track to a planet that will not support life. And already, the UV radiation that is raining down on us all is DNA-damaging bands of radiation. I'll cover this next week in more detail. I'm almost out of time. This is, a live on-air broadcast. I'm limited to a specific time slot. If all the reporting I've just done sounds dire, that's because what we face is dire. And the longer populations as a whole turn away from these dire truths, the less chance we have. Only in fully facing the truth do we have any chance of changing course. Children are afraid of the dark. How many are afraid of the truth? Question: will a failure to face and deal with truth protect us in any way, in any shape, in any form? We already know the answer. Again, only in fully facing reality and completely altering our current course of completely suicidal behavior do we, the human race, have any chance of even near-term survival. And again, that's a statistical and mathematical fact that any who truly do honest investigation will discover to their dismay. What will each of us choose to do while we still have the chance to make a difference? I sometimes ponder an experience I had many years ago at a zoo in Colorado Springs. Seeing the caged animals has always deeply saddened me. I was standing as close as I could to the rail that separated me from the bars of a cage containing a large spider monkey. We stared at each other for an extended time, each of us seeming to feel each other's sadness. And what happened next was, for me, of the deepest measure and meaning. This incredible but imprisoned creature then got down off his perch on an elevated branch in his cage. He approached the bars between us and he extended his long arm toward me, his hand open and upturned. I was moved to the marrow. I leaned out as far as I could over the rails that separated me from his prison bars. I reached out my hand and I clasped his leathery palm. And ever so gently, he held onto my hand and stared into my eyes. I felt pain. I felt his pain. That moment is forever burned into my soul. I can still feel his leathery hand in mine. Our brief connection was broken by a zoo official that intervened, but the message from this beautiful creature had been sent and received. When I see the heartbreaking images of primates trying to defend their forest homes, like a recent video of an orangutan in Borneo trying to stand against the heavy equipment that was about to cut down the last tree in his former forest home, my heart breaks. And I remember that leathery hand I once held. I know I can never give up in the fight to expose what is wrong in the world. Never. The web of life, every tree, every bird, bat, bee, bear, whale, walrus, seal, and monkey. All the countless creatures that once thrived on this miracle planet are dying. And those creatures have no voice, except for us. Many seem to believe that our lives are not connected to the lives of the rest, but we, all of us, will soon face the full falseness of such a notion. Question: are we here to give back to the whole to which we owe our lives, or are we here to take from it until there is nothing left? Does such a question even need to be answered? Many say it's too late to make a difference, that any effort to do so doesn't matter, and I'll never agree with them. Never. The decision to fully face the verifiable truth, to march in the right direction, on the right path, and to try to wake others matters in and of itself. If by the collective efforts of those who are already awake, we can awaken the sleeping masses, it is possible that doing so could matter in ways that none of us can yet fully know or comprehend. What is yet possible at this late hour? How can we know unless we try to do all we can while we can? And whatever happens, whatever comes, no one can take this act of will from us. If we can fully expose what is unfolding, starting with exposing and stopping the climate engineering all-out assault against Earth's life support systems, we may yet accomplish profound good, even at this late hour. We must free the planet from the toxic chains that bind it. Giving our all in the fight for the greater good is not just an option. It's our absolute obligation to the whole, to our children, and to the entire web of life. Make your voice heard in this all-important effort to wake others. Share credible data from a credible source. Make every day count. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with GeoengineeringWatch.org.